a small spray bottle, or better yet, a combination of both. These have the benefit of being conversation starters. I have made lots of pals while standing in long lines in hot weather, or sitting at a baseball game, sharing squirts from my bottle. 11. Hats with big brims and sunglasses. 12. A sweater or blanket. 13. Those slick little pocket packets that radiate heat. 14. Earmuffs or a colorful ski headband if the wind hurts your ears. Strategy 5. Refill your tank. Extroverting is a gas guzzler. Extroverts' tanks are pumped with glucose and adrenaline, so no wonder they don't want to stay home long. Introverts' energy, on the other hand, may well dip below the optimal level. As soon as you are aware of this drop, do the following exercise to increase your fuel level. You are going to create an imaginative getaway. You can enter your getaway with a key word. Think of a word you associate with a relaxing respite. For example, Hawaii, garden, beach, pond, woods. Picture the location in your head. Then add your five senses to it. What would it look like, smell like, sound like, taste like, feel like? My client Kelly uses the word glen. Her little clearing has moss and grass and wildflowers surrounded by shady trees. The birds are twittering. The air is crisp. She visualizes herself sinking into the grass by the bank of a stream and dipping her toes into the chilly water. The sun warms her back. Kelly can feel her body relax and her energy revive. Close your eyes and think of your word several times during the day. Imagine you are there. Apply your senses to your word. Practice this technique until you can think of your word and transport yourself in an instant. It's a quick and effortless refueler. Here are some other ways to give yourself a quick fill-up. Run cold water on your wrists, or alternate hot and cold, 10 seconds each. Fill a small spray bottle with water and squeeze in a dash of lemon juice. Use it occasionally to mist your face. Stand up, bend at the waist so your arms are dangling near the floor and you are looking at your knees. Relax and breathe for a few seconds. Rise up slowly. Stand up, lift your chin slightly, bring your head forward, and nod slightly. Rest in the nod. Repeat this several times during the day. Turn off the lights and sit in the dark for a few minutes. Stare out a window, watch people, and let your mind wander. Sit down, close your eyes, put your head back, and think of a fun experience from your past. Buy a hot or cold neck wrap, put in microwave or freezer, and apply it for 5 minutes on any area of your body where you feel tension. Strategy 6. Stay on the funny side of life. A laugh at your own expense costs you nothing. Mary Waldrip. When you go out into the extrovert world, don't leave home without your sense of humor. Humor is the fastest way to keep our perspective, reduce stress, and strengthen our bodies, increase enjoyment in everyday living, and connect with other people. Since introverts focus inward on their own experience, they can sometimes lose sight of the bigger picture. Sometimes they think irritating things happen only to them. They imagine if they were extroverting correctly, everything would go well. Humor helps us step outside of ourselves and see our lives from a broader viewpoint. It's like suddenly looking at your life from the top of a mountain. It's easy to identify the crucial landmarks. Humor reduces anxiety. It reminds us that this too shall pass. It helps us manage the minor annoyances so we can save being upset for what really matters, big ticket items like life and death. Remember that your energy supply is limited, so don't waste any of it by becoming grouchy. Arnold Glasow said, "Laughter is a tranquilizer with no side effects." My client Alice told me how a sense of humor helps her. She said, "Whenever something really frustrating happens, like arriving in snowy Chicago and my baggage doesn't, I keep thinking, boy, wait till I tell my friends about standing here at 2 a.m. in freezing O'Hare Airport with no baggage in my California cotton capris." Ironically, lots of wonderful experiences occur out of aggravation. Alice continued, "In this instance, a guy came over and said he was in Chicago for an ice cream convention, and his company was going to give away jackets at its booth, and he had extras. Would I like one?" I said, "Sure." He pulled a huge jacket with black and white cow heads staring out with somber eyes. You could almost hear them mooing. On the shuttle to the hotel, my cow jacket gave lots of strangers a good laugh. It's impossible to be in a funk and laugh at the same time. I ended up wearing the cow jacket all weekend because so many people started chatting with me about it. When babies are about 10 weeks old, they begin to laugh, and in another 6 weeks, they chuckle once an hour. By the time they are 4 years old, they giggle every 4 minutes. But by the time we reach adulthood, something sad happens. We laugh, on the average, only about 15 times a day, even less for many adults. We lose an important part of our natural stress-relieving arsenal. Remember that full-flavored euphoria you feel after a good laugh? A hearty laugh gives the muscles of your face, shoulders, diaphragm, and tummy a good workout. Your breathing revs up, and your blood pressure and heart rate temporarily rise as oxygen races through your bloodstream. Researchers speculate that laughing, like jogging, releases endorphins. Endorphins produce high-level alertness and reduce pain. Research shows that laughing reduces stress and increases immunity. In one study, participants were shown funny videotapes and then given increasingly harder math problems to solve. That would definitely spike my stress response. Watching funny tapes reduced the subject's stress, but here's the interesting part. Only for those who were used to laughing a lot. It seems that to receive the physiological benefits of laughter, you need to keep that funny bone well oiled. Another study found that people who reported that they consistently used humor to cope with stress had a higher baseline level of antibodies that safeguard against illness. Yet another study showed that the immune response of people with a good sense of humor didn't drop when exposed to stress. Even those who use humor only infrequently have higher levels of antibodies in their saliva after watching a humorous video. My husband Mike has had several jobs that offered us the opportunity to travel. Unfortunately, our talent for travel disasters seemed to be an added bonus. We call it the curse of the rolling black cloud. One time, we had just belted ourselves into our United Airlines seats, thanking our lucky stars that nothing had gone wrong. Yet. At that moment, the pilot came on the speaker and said in a deadpan voice, "We will be delayed due to a swarm of bees attached to our back wheel. A beekeeper has been called to come and capture the queen. We are hoping the rest of the hive will fly away when the queen is removed. We will notify you of the progress." I looked at Mike with a blank face. "Do you think he's kidding?" I asked. Mike returned my blank stare. The captain wasn't kidding. It was time for us to switch into humor mode. "Nobody is going to believe this, even coming from us," we said, laughing. Here are a few ideas for bringing more laughter into your life. On your next car ride with your family, listen to an audiobook by a humorous author like Bill Cosby, Paul Reiser, Art Buchwald or Dave Barry. Cut out cartoons, jokes, and/or funny sayings and post them around your home and office. Remember to laugh at other people's jokes and funny stories. Make an effort to notice your own foibles and to have empathy with the human condition. Exaggerate something that happens. When clients are stuck in complaining and helplessness, I overstate what they are saying. Oh my God, that sounds dreadful. What in the world will you do? I don't intend to make fun of them, but sometimes it helps put the situation in perspective, and we both laugh. Solutions come much easier after a hearty chuckle. Use humor in a strained situation when it's appropriate. There's a now famous story that when President Reagan was taken to the hospital after he was shot by a would-be assassin, he said to his wife Nancy, "Honey, I should have ducked." One word of caution, not all humor is healthful. Scorn, sarcasm, ridicule, and contempt originate from fear, anger, and/or envy, and they are harmful. If someone sends a hostile remark in your direction, do not laugh. It will only encourage them. It's better to say something like, "Wow, that was a zinger. Hold on a minute. Let me get the arrow out of my chest." Then continue the conversation by changing the subject or asking someone else a question. If you find yourself being sarcastic, think about why you may be mad at the person at whom you directed the sarcasm. Don't use humor in situations where someone is severely depressed or has suffered the loss of a loved one. While humor can sometimes be injected in these types of situations, it's not always easy to tell what may give offense, even to close friends or relatives. However, humor in tragic situations can help us cope. In one award-winning episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Mary attends the funeral of Chuckles the Clown, who, while dressed as a peanut, was trampled to death by an elephant. That episode was one of the best examples of gallows humor ever filmed. Strictly speaking, here's what the dictionary says about laughing. It is a rhythmic spasmodic reflex with expiration from an open glottis and vibration of the vocal cords, often accompanied by a baring of teeth and facial grimaces. Doesn't that sound like fun? The benefits of laughter. Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. Victor Borgia. Besides being just plain fun, laughter increases a sense of well-being, increases enjoyment of social interactions, increases oxygen, endorphins, antibodies, and pain thresholds, lowers stress, reduces anxiety, overwhelm, depression, frustration, and anger. Laughing last. A bird lands on a turtle's shell. The turtle is crying. The bird says, "Now what's wrong?" "I'm a failure," the turtle says. "Why?" "I'm so slow," says the turtle. "You're supposed to be slow. You're a turtle, and turtles are slow." "I wish I was fast," said the turtle. "Why?" "Hares are always laughing at me." "What's your life expectancy?"
150 years, said the turtle.
"And the hares?"
5 years, said the turtle.
The bird walked off the turtle's back. "Well, just think, you get 145 years of last laughs." Strategy 7. Shine your light into the world. Although introverts may feel uncomfortable in groups, ironically, they also usually long for a sense of community. Seeing relationships in all-or-nothing terms may interfere with creating their own community. They may think people are either totally busy with social commitments all the time or completely isolated. But you don't have to be a social butterfly in order to enjoy a greater sense of fellowship. Whether you are married, single, raising a family, or on the verge of retirement,
You may wish for more personal relationships. Many of my introverted clients who want to meet more people usually make the same comment. I have no idea how to get started. Here's one way. On a blank piece of paper, write your name in the middle with a colored pen and draw a circle around it. Now write down your present social network, using colored pens to identify different groups. Blue could be your best friends, red could be your family, orange could be your work relationships, and purple could be any other groups you belong to. Think about the people and groups you have interacted with during your lifetime. Pay attention to those you once liked but who are no longer in your life. Think back. If there is an old activity you enjoyed, like taking photographs, which you would like to start again, add it to your list. Green might be a good choice for new connections as it symbolizes growth. Think about the following statements and see if any apply to you. If they do, start thinking about how you can incorporate the ideas they represent into your network. Perhaps there are people already in your network who could help. I would like to have more good friends with whom I feel comfortable. I would like to join or start a group with others who have similar interests, values, backgrounds, professions, hobbies, spiritual beliefs, or political views. I would like to broaden my life experiences by joining a group with different backgrounds, interests, or ideas than mine. I would like to be involved with a group that is improving the world. I would like to be involved with a group that lends support and assistance to its members, like a group for newly retired people. I would like to be active in a community group such as Friends of the Library, PTA, a mentoring organization like Big Brothers or Big Sisters, or the docent program in my local museum. I would rather join an established group. I don't want to join a group. I would rather just increase my network of friends. Now comes the part that can be tricky for innies, overcoming fears, anxieties, and resistances, such as, I will feel uncomfortable and anxious. I don't have the energy. I might get hurt or rejected. I hate that getting to know you phase. I'll end up having all the responsibility. These are some common introvert fears. To allay them, try to think through what apprehensions they are masking. For example, are you afraid of being rejected, embarrassed, or hurt? Or just plain old frightened of the new and unknown? Then, remind yourself that fears aren't real or predictive. They are just electrical energy to which you have assigned a specific meaning. Most things we worry about never come to pass. Finally, decide to enjoy yourself no matter what. Here are 5 strategies that may help you venture out. 1. Pick one connection you want to make or one group with which you want to develop more community and take one step. For example, go to a church singles meeting, take a salsa dance class, attend a meeting of your local tree commission. Ask a friend to go with you to a book group, or volunteer for your child's school fair committee. Start small and congratulate yourself for any progress you make. 2. Have a regular weekly date or phone conversation with a friend. It might be a good idea to formalize this relationship by asking the person to make a regular commitment of time. If one friend doesn't want to, ask another. 3. Invite 2 friends over for a discussion of a topic of mutual interest. 4. Remember, Rome wasn't built in a day, so several forays into extroverting may fizzle. That's to be expected. If you have given a new group or person several tries and it doesn't seem to be clicking, then move on and attempt another connection. No one fits in everywhere. Eventually, you will find people and organizations you enjoy and feel included in and stimulated by. 5. Also bear in mind that the internet community can be a good place for introverts to connect with friends and family, as well as make new cyber relationships. Even though there have been many dire predictions about how computers cause alienation, reduce personal interaction, and diminish a sense of community, the internet appears actually to increase people connections for introverts. It also permits people who are ill, isolated, live on the other side of the world, or can't meet in person to check in with each other on a consistent basis. And when you email someone, you can give yourself plenty of time to think about what you want to say and revise all you want before you hit the send or reply button. I am constantly amazed that well-known authors and researchers in fields I am investigating will email me with information and express their willingness to be helpful. It has left me feeling less alienated, not more alienated. Strangers are more caring and responsive than I could have imagined. Often, I think they are friendlier than they might be in person because they feel safe and more in control. You can use the internet to join chat rooms with people who have similar interests, read bulletin boards to find out information about various organizations, and so on. Believe it or not, several of the psychoanalysts at my institute and some of my clients have found partners on fee-based dating sites on the internet. One word of caution. A study by the British Psychological Society in 1998 regarding internet addiction found that the most frequent cyber surfers were 30-something introverts, male or female, and that they were likely to be suffering from depression. So if you are spending more time on the internet than in other parts of your life, if friends or relatives complain to you about your internet use, and you feel depressed, think about seeing a physician for an evaluation. Depression is a condition that is highly treatable with a combination of psychotherapy and medication. Lighthouses point the way home. This above all, to thine own self be true. William Shakespeare. It is easier to think of extroverting in the fast-paced world if you know you have a supply of strategies to rely on, and if you know your foray away from home base is limited in time. From your effort and courage to practice new techniques will come new friends, career options, romance, recognition from others, and, the most important of all, a solid sense of your own inner advantages and strengths. The world will benefit from your contributions. Leisure time at home will feel doubly refreshing because you won't feel so isolated or guilty that you are avoiding life. A well-earned repose. Points to ponder. Sometimes you need to flex your outie muscles. You won't always be comfortable extroverting. Learn what helps you while extroverting and do it. Be a confident introvert. Believe the extroverted world will benefit from your contributions. Final farewell. In all things of nature, there is something of the marvelous. Aristotle. I hope this audiobook has helped you understand being an introvert in an extroverted world. I believe that by accepting your introverted temperament, you will be able to take better care of yourself and lessen any guilt or embarrassment you may have about being an introvert. The world is better off when introverts feel comfortable living in their own skin and following their own path. Sharing your advantages brightens the lives of everyone you meet. Spread the word to friends, family, and coworkers that introverts are much more than okay. I would love to hear from you. My address is Marty Laney, P.O. Box 8993, Calabasas, California, 91372, USA. My email is Marty Laney, M-A-R-T-I-L-A-N-E-Y, at sbcglobal.net. Please visit my website at theintrovertadvantage.com. Words for introverts to live by. Be playful. Take breaks. Appreciate your inside world. Be authentic. Enjoy curiosity. Stay in harmony. Revel in solitude. Be grateful. Be you. Remember, let your light shine. This has been a Highbridge Audio production.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.